And good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions brought to you by BBS Radio. I am so glad to be here this week. Last week I was out sick. I've been fussing around with hoarseness, laryngitis, etc. It's the season to share, but everybody's sharing with me, and I'm being selfish. I'm not sharing with other people, so if I call for my... Liz Pricer, your hostess for today. And we don't have a guest, so that means that you can call in. We can get psychic readings if you like, or opinions about something, or else I can simply talk about what I'd like to today, which I thought would be good, is giving you some methods of doing relaxation and guided imagery and maybe some Jin Shin Jitsu to help bring about a more stress-free and anxious life, inner life to you, because everything that's going on, the people are just, you know, I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods, but here in D.C. they're all having hissy fits and excesses of bad news, and things are going bad, and people being stressed and so forth and so on. So I have some suggestions, and, you know, if anybody out there has some suggestions that they do to relieve stress and to do relaxation techniques and to make life easier for them, I would encourage you to call in and share, because that's what this show is all about. It's sharing information. Even though we have people to call in and so forth, and I talk, it's all about taking the information that we have read about, learned, earned, and been inspired to do for ourselves and for our loved ones. At any rate, I have had a couple of funny things happen. I have agreed to, as I usually have done in the past few years, dog sat for some friends of mine, and I think I told you a cat adopted me this past fall, and I did have another dog visiting me with Sasha, whose name is Sasha, and she's an older dog, a mixed breed, and she's been living with a cat. So while my Rambo was not happy with sharing, we now have dog and cat having stress, which is why I'm segueing into this. And the cat is giving gimlet eyes at the dog, and Rambo has become king of the hill in the house here, and so he is not at all happy with sharing it with an arch rival. And dear little Miss Poodle, Sasha, who's a beautiful little toy black poodle, is not at all happy, since she's queen of the hill in her household, of sharing with the cat. And she keeps barking at the cat as though she's saying, "Look, Mom, there's a strange animal in this house, in case you didn't realize it's still here, day after day." And I was thinking, if I could get these two to work together well, you know, I could apply for a job as a peacekeeper in the Middle East, but apparently I'm going to have to put that one on hold, because Sasha is eyeing him and barks and yells before she gets hurt, and he has taken up doing sneak attacks, like hiding under a piece of furniture and leaping out at her, and she just gives a yelp and a squeal and goes racing off before she's even hurt, and heading for me if she can find me. So she's becoming more like a burr under a saddle blanket, sticking to me as close as possible. He, on the other hand, is really miffed, and he's now taken to hiding under the dining room table, sitting on dining room chairs instead of his little scratching post, feet in the sun, as I call it, that he normally loved to do, sunning himself in the window. And he occasionally will hiss at her, and she will bark at him, so the universal gingham cat and calico dog, or calico cat and gingham dog, I'm not sure which one it was, from the nursery rhyme, seems to hold here. I even tried rubbing the same essential oil on both cat and dog, because somebody suggested that if we have, all three of us have the same scent, we're likely to, get along better. Well, apparently that doesn't work. I even tried brushing them with the same brush to also mingle the scents, and that doesn't work. And I have to be careful about the food. So if somebody has a great idea for getting the two to at least tolerate each other instead of giving each other the eye, as I call it, the evil eye, That would be wonderful. But meanwhile, that's elevated my stress a little bit. I've never had a household where I've had a cat and a dog before, and I find it interesting. It's almost as difficult as having two kids who aren't agreeing. And so I'm having a little bit of fun, and I'm learning. And poor Sasha, she has to stay in my room because she just howls and howls and howls when she's left in a room by herself. And at least Rambo doesn't howl. I can put him in my office and leave him there with the door shut, and he's perfectly happy and fine for a couple of hours, whereas Sasha will just wail like a banshee, ready to take another soul. So, you know, she gets the rest of the house because it's a squeaky wheel which gets the grease. So at any rate, my calmness has been slightly fluffed up a bit this past week, and so I thought more and more about what do I do to help stress me down. Well, of course, one of the things you can do if you have a pet, and it's therapeutically very good, is to stroke your pet and to love your pet. Some of the other things that are very important to consider is that did you eat the proper foods still? I found and was tempted in very many years because I have an issue with the thyroid, so I have issues with my weight, that I would eat comfort foods to help me feel well and to lower stress. But then again, it triggers your stress level even more when you eat comfort foods, because then you're sorry you eat the comfort foods, because I don't know about you, but my comfort foods make my little thighs happy and my little fat cells just trill in joy when they see dark chocolate or semi-sweet chocolate. And they like nice, good, fattening things. And I just happen to love Irish soda bread and sourdough bread and Italian, good Italian bread that's soft in the middle and hard crust, good French bread. So I have been on this wonderful Carbohydrate Addict's Diet. So the name of the book is The Carbohydrate Addict's Diet, and by Drs. Keller. And I have been on it, about a month now. I know I've lost weight, so I feel better. But I find that I do not want sugar the way I crave sugar. And the cravings only last a little bit. I find that I can eat maybe a tiny teaspoon or two of maybe ice cream, and then I'm done. I don't want the sugar. I can now drink my tea, whether it's echinacea or any of the other teas, without any honey or anything else to sweeten it, and I am fine. I find that my desire for sugar has gone way, way down, which is a good thing. And I find that it's just better for me. I also find that I don't crave carbohydrates as much. I don't crave the breads or the pasta that I did. I had some the other day, in fact, 2 days ago. Friday. And I decided to treat myself to lobster ravioli. And I found I could only eat one, and then I ate the second ravioli. And I really forced myself to eat the third of six raviolis. And they're not very big, but I was just full. I didn't want any more. And I find that my desire to eat food also is lessening and lessening as a result. So how does this help stress and management? Because I know what I'm doing is feeling well. I'm not fighting myself. I'm not in conflict with myself, wanting to comfort myself with the foods that I have. And this particular diet isn't for everyone. It's for those who have a particular addiction to or desire for carbohydrates. And I surely do love good desserts, my goodness. But I find myself, again, just as happy with a yogurt, for example, or no dessert at all, or just a piece of fruit. I've also found that when I have a little fiber, like Cheerios, if I have breakfast with Cheerios, I can put some berries in it, and I'm very happy with that. I don't have to put sugar in anymore. So, again, all of this helps to reduce, because stress is really conflict inside of you. It's inner turmoil. And that's one of the things that we can have some control over. You know, our bodies are the instrument that we use, and we tend to forget that we can give our bodies a command. And if we really mean that command, our bodies will have to obey that command. I have at times, in fact, when I started coming down, I guess 10 days ago with this little flu or whatever it was, I gave the command that I didn't want to be sick, that I didn't have the time or patience for it, and I just didn't want to sick and be able to fever. Well, I went to bed, and I think within about 10 or 11, about 4 in the morning, whatever fever that I did have broke, and that was the end of it, but I just had this leftover with the hoarseness and so forth carrying on. And sometimes with allergies, this will do so too. And sometimes I think I have an allergy to my cat, so that just adds on top of it. But basically, if you tell your body that you will, you wish something to be done and it to obey, your body will follow the command. And it's also that you can't worry about it, too. It's sort of like the push-me-pull-me portion of what goes on in your life. And that is, you can give a command, and then if you worry about whether or not it's going to be obeyed, you're sort of snatching it back again. It's sort of asking the universe to provide you substance and sustenance and a job, and then worrying about whether or not the universe will actually bring you a job or what have you, or bring in the money or whatever it is that you do need. So a lot of it is actually how we look at what we do in our life and how we accept what we do in our life, and if we release what we have in our life to go to a higher source. And there are different schools of thought, and what I'm thinking of as I sit here and try to reconcile what this school of thought is, that school of thought is, that I'm thinking that maybe there are different levels of releasement and relaxation that occur. And I think we've discussed this before in illnesses and so forth. But I think that there are different levels that we reach, and as people reach certain levels and they find something works on a particular level, then they share that information to others. And that's why it looks like some things are contradictory, like putting down what you want exactly by way of a job or a home or in a mate or what you want to happen or a project or whatever it is that you set forth. And others that say, just let it out to the universe and let go. And my feeling is, I think it really depends, again, and I'll repeat it, on the level that you have reached. And as you gain a certain level and gain mastery of it, then you move into yet another level, or onto yet another level. And I don't want to say higher, because that's not the right word, and it could be deeper or farther, or into a more perfect state of being. You find that there's less detail that needs to be given with your desire. I think part of what writing things down most and putting down details is just to focus your energy. And so many of us, when we're under stress and anxiety, are indeed scattered in our approach. Okay? We are scattered in the approach that we have. And this is why it's better to write something down and focus on it. So I'm going to give a couple of exercises, and you can take what you want from these and try them out and see which one really, really works for you. And I think that they all have validity depending on who you are and where you are in your own growth cycle. And again, as I say, if anybody is listening and they happen to have a particular solution to their problem or a technique that they feel really works for them, you are certainly welcome to call in and share, because I think it's fabulous to share. One of the first techniques that I learned was through the ARE, which is the Association for Research Enlightenment, and the Edgar Cayce Institute. And this is the breathing technique, and it's one of the techniques that helps you to guided meditation. Meditation is one of the best techniques for releasing stress and anxiety, because it teaches you to reach into the beingness within you. The first exercise of this is with one finger, lay it beside the nose on the left-hand side, and inhale, let's see, the left side, and inhale through the right nostril, then inhale to the count of seven, hold it for three, put your finger to the right side of your nostril, and exhale through the left nostril to the count of seven. Do that three times. Then, laying your finger on the right nostril, inhale through the left nostril to the count of seven, hold for three, and then exhale through the left nostril to the count of three. To the count of seven, hold for three and count of seven. And when you're done, just still yourself, because you're concentrating on focusing on inhaling and exhaling. And when you're done, you should feel yourself into a much more calm space within you. And as you slowly breathe in, focus on slowing the count of seven so that you are breathing more slowly and holding a little bit longer, even though you're keeping the same count, and relaxing. And that will help you focus and move into a more meditative state of mind. Another way of doing one of these exercises, and if you could do this in a quiet place while you're lying down or you're sitting in a quiet place, so much more the better. And do it when you have 15 or 20 minutes just to spend on yourself. And do take the time to care enough for yourself to do this. Another induction that can help you is from Jin Shin Jitsu, and that is if you put, it can be either hand, but take, for example, your right hand and put it on the back of your left hand, take your right thumb and put it in the palm of your left hand, so you're actually holding your left hand with the fingers on the outside of the hand, on the back, and the thumb on the inside, hold it. And again, just breathe slowly and deeply and focus. Focus on what it feels like, what your hand feels like. Focus on listening to your body. You can do the same thing in reverse, taking your left hand, put it on the back of your right hand, and taking your left thumb and putting it in the center of your palm. And just hold. I also call that the happy button, because when I do that, I end up smiling. That calms me when I am stressed, and that allows me to relax as well. But it is my happy button, and I will find myself smiling when I do this. I also believe that another deep breath type of thing that is, again, very important is from Jin Shin Jitsu as well. And that is taking what we call the 36 cleansing breaths. Here you would cross your arms, okay, but put each of your hands, the four fingers of your hands, under your armpit with your thumb in front of your chest. So you actually have your thumb sticking out with your arms crossed across your chest, again with the thumbs up, facing upwards towards your shoulder on the front of your chest, and your fingers clamped under your armpit. And take three slow, deep, even breaths. You don't have to count. Just breathe in, and as you are focusing on counting the one and the two, with the inhale and count one, visualize energy coming up the back of your body, going up over the top of your head, and on the exhale, feel the energy going down the front of your body. Again, breathing that way, you breathe in, halation with energy coming up with clean, clear, crisp, good air, fresh air, harmony and peace, and exhaling dirty, dusty, grimy stuff, stress, anxiety, fear, whatever it is you want to release, and do this for 36 breaths. Focus on slowing down your breaths the more deeply you get into the 36 breaths. Now, some people can't do 36 breaths all at once. They can only do 6 or 9, and that's okay. Whatever you can do to slow down and to calm yourself, that you can do. You can break it up into 3 groups of 9, or 4 groups of 9 each, 2 groups of 18, it doesn't matter. It's okay to breathe that way and do what you can. Focus on being, okay? The breath of life is very important. It is how you control, because when you are stressed, when you are anxious, you really don't breathe deeply. You are starving your body of oxygen, which puts into the stressors in your body, the chemicals, the hormones, and the endocrine gland. All of this start things moving, including the, what sits above the kidneys, the fight or flight response. I'll think of the word in a moment. I'm sorry, I'm having a senior moment. But it's the adrenal glands that release the fight and flight. And those get stressed, and they kick chemicals into your body, and you're not going to run anywhere. You're not going to, there's no predator around. It's just the stress. And it's not good for your body because, quite frankly, it lowers your immune system and makes you vulnerable to viruses and colds as such. So what you would like to do in that circumstance is to realize that it's not just the emotional issue, but a physiological and chemical issue that is going on inside your body, all of it leading to a more and more round-robin stress within your being, none of which is very, very good for you. It's appropriate when you are in an urgent situation, but if you're not, don't create it, because then when you really need it, you're going to be somewhat depleted and you're going to be exhausted, and it's going to take, you're not going to be able to sustain what you need when you have the real call for that energy. It's sort of like the little boy crying wolf. Enough already. Your body is too used to it. You don't need to have all of that stress hormone running through your body because it's really not good for you on an everyday basis. Another thing that you would want to do is eat a lot of leafy green vegetables. Again, nutrition comes in here. The green vegetables are very good for an alkaline body. You do want to avoid sweets. Again, you are a whole human being. So what you eat, what you think, what you feel, and what you do physically all participates into a whole body feeling. So eat more of the alkaline foods, okay? Stress on that. Cut back to as little as possible, if any at all, of the fried foods. When you get stressed, a lot of that stress is immediately felt in your stomach. Okay? How do you relieve that stress in the stomach? Make a fist with either your right or left hand. It doesn't matter which one you start. Make a fist as though you were going to punch somebody, which means that your thumb is wrapping around your knuckles. Open up that fist just a little bit and put your thumb of the other hand into that and just hold your thumb, doesn't matter which hand you use, for about a minute or two. And it doesn't have to be a tight fist. It's loose enough. Just sit in your lap. You can do it at the table while if you're driving, when you're talking to someone. It doesn't matter. And in a minute or so, you will find that the heartburn you're having, the stress, pain in your stomach is going to dissolve. Always make sure, of course, I'm going to say here, do see a doctor. I use this instead of tossing Tums or Zantac or anything else in my stomach, and I find it works for me. It's free, and I have a hiatal hernia, I've been diagnosed with reflux and what have you, and I use it, and it works very, very well for me. If I get stressed or upset, I find my stomach doesn't need food to get hurting by itself. It'll do it all by itself. Thank you very much. So, again, hold your thumb. If you've eaten something or you're stressed and your stomach feels tight, hold your thumb. If you're really sick and you have to throw up, by all means, do so. The other thing that you want to do is do exercise. Go out for a walk. Walking is good. Doing exercises is good. Doing housework is a great releaser. Doing yard work. Now that spring's coming in, believe it or not, we're at March 1st. Hello. We are looking at the possibility that in 20 more days we're going to have spring. That would be wonderful. And now's the time to consider your garden. And you can even start doing some planting and growing seeds, working with the soil, and putting your mind to growing things. That, too, is good. So this is another way to relieve stress, is working with the soil, cleaning. Cleaning out closets is good. Sometimes holding on to things is a stressor in and above itself, and cleaning out closets can make you feel good. Getting rid of papers, if you've done your taxes for this year, throwing out those documents that you don't need, don't keep them forever and a day. Get rid of the magazines that you're going to read someday but you're not going to get around to. Don't be a pack rat. Try and straighten up the place that where you are living will also help you to relieve stress, because as you pile things up, the more clutter you have around you, the more likely you are to stay in a state of depression. And depression is an emotional sign and a physical sign and a psychological sign of things not being quite right in your life. And all of this should help. Financially, sometimes it's good to set your finances aside and play the what-if game. If I did this, what could I do with that? And play games sort of like that. Work with imagining certain scenarios that would lead to a more pleasing outcome for you. It's not just pounding sand down a rat hole. It's allowing you to release stress that's built up instead of worrying and denying. And again, denial is not a good thing to hold on to. It's like stuffing something that's really going to bubble up and spill over later on. So allow yourself to have the freedom of releasing denial. And listen, I'm the queen of denial. I've been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt, believe me, more than once. And so I know what it's like personally, having experienced denial, whether it's with a situation that I'm in, with jobs, with finances, with a relationship. Turning and facing something is much preferable to pretending it doesn't exist. Become more aware of who you are. Talk to yourself. It's okay to answer yourself, too. I found that, too. Sometimes I find if I stand and look in a mirror and talk to myself, I get ahead a little bit more, but that's because, you know, there's nobody else around but me, the cat, and now the dog for a while. So, you know, not anybody else is going to think I'm a little crazy. But I can talk to myself, which also leaves stress, because sometimes just verbalizing what I'm thinking or going through or feeling is helpful. Another way of releasing stress is to journal, is to write down what your concerns are, write down what the worst that could happen would be and what options that you would have. Talking with a friend or a relative, you want someone who's non-judgmental, and boy, they're hard to find, I can tell you that. And you don't want to go where people are going to be zealots and try and force you to see their way as the only way. You want to talk with somebody who maybe just will offer an ear, and you could start the conversation with saying, look, just, you know, be like Mark Anthony and lend me an ear. I don't want any responses. I just want to hear myself talk. Because sometimes when you allow it to come out and it's in the air, you can hear it, you yourself will be inspired to see what it is, the steps that you would need to take to help you out. These are some of the other steps. Others, again, are just writing down different scenarios and different options that you have, and which one would you like best. Planning things out. Planning outings. Oh, when things get better, this is what I'd like to do. You know, and targeting a date and saying, I'd like to see a change in my life going on now. And this is where I would like it to head. And put your focused energy on seeing a positive outcome that you have drawn. It doesn't have to, it can be in living color if you like. I mean, if you want to cut out a picture, a collage, make a collage or draw or word picture, it doesn't matter, of what the outcome to your situation is you'd like it to be resolved, and focus on that, that's good too. It helps to use imagination. There's something else that also is very, very important. We have, as I've mentioned before, the ability to create in our life what we would like to have, and sometimes we just don't see what it is that we have created, and we need a lot of distance, maybe, in years, or time, or emotional distance, and sometimes not so much, but usually there's some time of distance involved, into what led us into certain situations that we have endured in the past, and we wonder why we couldn't see the picture more clearly. And I can only tell you that from experience, it's because we knew we had to make a break, that there had to be a sea change in our life, and that if there were not these series of events, experiences, many of which may be perceived as traumatic and disheartening and soul-shaking, we would not have moved forward. We would have stayed in the same place and marked time. And that's not really what we're supposed to do. We're here really to experience and grow. And especially, I'd have to say, especially this time when there is so much turmoil going on in this world, we have chosen to be in this time and place precisely to take advantage of the energies that are unleashed at that time, at this time, whereas in other times we might have just stayed in our safe little place and not gone anywhere with it and spent our life living in our comfortable zone and not experiencing what we needed to make a life change that brings us closer to our creative being and to that which is our greatest spiritual reward, which is serving others, and serving ourselves serves others. I can't stress enough that it isn't selfish to think of yourself. It really isn't. It isn't selfish to put yourself first unless doing so takes away something from someone else. And we all, I think, know the difference. Or we should, at this point in our lives, know the difference between selfishness and selfness, which is important. If you do not eat properly, you can't help others to eat properly. If we don't feed ourselves the nourishment we need, we won't have the energy and the strength to help do the other things in life we have to do. We also should learn to share. We don't have to be Superman or Superwoman. It isn't necessary to be perfect. We are perfect beings in our own right. But Lord have mercy, if we were perfect beings, we would have not to be here and do some of the things we have, but we also wouldn't experience or have some of our most rewarding changes and experience and events happen in our lives and the lives of others. I was in a discussion yesterday with a dear, dear friend talking about she wanted the perfect man, and I said, stop and think about it. Would you really want to live with someone who's perfect? Would you want to live with an angel? You're a human, aren't you? What would it be like to live with a perfect man? and you stop and think, and boy, what a high standard that would call forth on your part, okay? I personally am not sure I want the perfect being in my life. I would like to have someone whose relationship would be the best for me, but I don't know. I think I'd be tempted to kill Mr. Perfect if he came into my life, because it's a standard to which I'd probably keep striving but falling short, and that could be a very frustrating situation. Although a lot of people seem to think they're perfect. God knows. Anyway, I'm just thinking of some of the people I've met. You know, and I'm sure you have too. And you're just so thankful that you don't have to live with them. And I'm thankful I don't really have to live with myself as another human being, because I have a feeling I drive myself batty the way I am. And I do strive to have high ideals. In fact, I do have high ideals. And I do strive towards them, and I don't achieve them all the time. But we don't. And it's okay. It's okay not to reach those ideals. If we didn't know up, how would we know down? If we didn't know unhappiness, how could we share happiness or participate or express that exhilarating joy that comes with happiness? If we didn't know hate, how would we know love? There has to be a duality, at least here on this earth plane, because that's the way it's constructed. It's constructed so that we have the opportunities to have joy and peace in our life. We would know peace and harmony, but if we did not know disharmony and stress and chaos, how would we appreciate peace and harmony? How would we be able to bring it about more fully in our lives if we were not really aware of what it really means? And so we would lose many opportunities for growth and sharing in this life if we didn't have the duality of purpose. There is also another way of doing this in using hypnosis. Most of y'all have tape recorders or have the ability to do a CD or know somebody who can do this. And you can make your own guided imagery tape. You can help yourself to do this. You can relax and have fun and enjoy yourself. And making your own tape is a wonderful thing. You can use something like floating on a cloud, or you can have being at a beach or in a mountain, whatever your favorite setting is. Just sit for a little while and close your eyes and imagine that you are up in a cloud floating or in a beach situation and feeling the breeze, and describe it as well as you can. Add all the imagery you want in there. Remember a time. Go to a time where you would have an absolute marvelous experience, whether it's in childhood or adulthood, doesn't matter, or some place that you would imagine you'd like to go, or a movie, whatever it is, and describe it on the tape or on the CD, and put yourself into that state of relaxation. Visualize it, feel it, put emotion into whatever it is that you are doing. And then remember to pause and then say that you can, at, say, after 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you can even put this in your own words of, I want to be back in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, that I am going to come back out and bring myself back out. So you can create your own tape. If you're going to play it for yourself in the future, do add the bringing yourself back to consciousness. I am bringing myself back to a state of consciousness, feeling rested and energized. 3, becoming more and more conscious and aware, feeling rested and relaxed, feeling able to cope with everything in the daily life. 2, coming closer to a conscious awareness. 1, I am at the area of a conscious awareness and awake and feeling energized, relaxed, at peace, and in harmony. Now, this way is you are making your own relaxation tape, which is a self-hypnosis tape. This is something that anyone can do for themselves. And I would encourage you to do this. If you cannot see a hypnotherapist, you can do this. This also is good. Again, take a good 15 or 20 minutes out of each day to be kind to yourself, whether it's the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, before you start your day, whenever you want to. Whenever you can sneak time in for yourself, do it. If you have to lock yourself in a bathroom and get in a tub and do the scented and the bubbles and the candles and a glass of wine, if that tickles your fancy, do that also. Or better still, maybe fruit juice instead of wine. The jury keeps coming back and forth with an answer on whether or not a glass of wine is good for you or not good for you. So what can I tell you? You have to use your own best judgment on that one. Another way of relaxation and stress-free is to do yoga. There are some marvelous stretches in yoga. Again, I would suggest that there's a book, I don't know if it's still in print, but it's one that I used faithfully and loved, and it was called by Richard Hittleman, H-I-T-T-L-E-M-A-N, Richard Hittleman. I don't know what it was called exactly, not everyday yoga, but it's a book on yoga, and it was very good. It's something that you can easily follow. It's written easily, and it has pictures that show what the proper stresses are, and use it in a way that feels good for you. Sometimes just stretching, good, long, strong stretching helps you to relax, and that you can do, or do take a yoga class. Now, I believe YMCAs, I think there are some universities that provide yoga courses, or Pilates, which I think Pilates is a little more stressful, but yoga classes, and do not hurt yourself, okay? Do not go to extremes, but it does make you feel better, and it does reduce stress. Walking is excellent for getting the kinks out, helping your body heal, helping you feel better about yourself. Going to a gym is also excellent. Swimming is excellent. Weightlifting is excellent. Personal body trainer is excellent. A little spa now and then. Whatever your income allows. And sometimes you can do your own spa at home. Just get a little foot bath or a little, feet massagers, which are pretty good that they have at Christmas time and others in the stores that aren't too expensive. And just put your feet on one of those little foot massages and let your feet get massaged. Massage your own feet. Take some lotion and just rub it in and massage your own feet. This is wonderful. Massaging your own hands is wonderful, okay? Just massaging your own forehead with a little lotion, a little cream, or the back of your neck. This also is good. Reading a good book is helpful. All of these things can help you relax. Again, if anyone wants to call in and share, I'd be delighted to share, have you come on the air and talk about what works for you. Most of what I'm suggesting doesn't cost any money at all. It's a matter of doing for yourself. And we're going to go back to the issue now then that all stress rises from within you and from the perception that you have the world around you that things are not well, even with job loss. Again, we're going to go into another level here of loss and foreclosure. And do I know that this can cause extreme stress and anguish? And I use the word anguish. Yes, I know what it's like. I have been there. I do understand. And I had to work my way through this as well. So So when I let you know and tell you that I have walked in your shoes and I know what it's like, I am speaking the truth. And I have walked through to the other side. As I've said for you a few times, I've been to the gates of hell and come back. On one level, I've been told recently that this is the way of the shaman, that we walk through this. We experience the loss of everything, not as punishment. So please let us remove any thoughts of that negative vibration from our mind. We are not being punished for real or imagined or supposed transgressions or failures to do something or not do something. They may have come about through in uninformed decisions, errors in judgment, ignorance, arrogance, whatever you want to call it, but do not be judgmental, because it is not judgment upon you. It is all a part of your soul's journey in this earth plane to pass through this journey of seeming loss. And I say seeming loss because as long as you have your soul, as long as you have your mind and your free will, you are your own creative being, you are your own God within, and you can change the path that you've chosen. But we choose this path to learn lessons. And what are the lessons that we learn? To realize that all material things are transitory. We are not possessed by our possessions. We truly do not own anything but we ourselves. Anything that is material can come and go. Within our lifetime, many times, as food, it can be consumed. There's the old expression, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And that's true. You either have the cake in front of you or you don't. If you don't eat it in time, it goes bad. Then you throw it away. You still don't have it. Either one, you enjoyed eating it, or one, you didn't enjoy eating it. But the bottom line is, it doesn't exist forever. So the material possessions that you have are the illusion that something is yours. What you truly have is your commitment to yourself, your love of self and others, your ideals, your hopes, your dreams, your passions, your learning, the experiences that you've gained, the knowledge you've gained. These are all things that you truly, truly do possess. And no one can take them away from you unless you allow it to be taken away. No one can take your free will unless you set it aside. Anyone can come and take your freedom or your possessions, but they can't take away the efforts that brought, the experiences that brought those possessions into your life. And those are the skills and the abilities and the talents and the gifts, in essence, that you've brought with you. And if you have brought them once, you can bring them again. The one thing about this world is nothing stays the same. It changes. It ebbs and flows. It has the highs and the lows. So even in the situation where one day you may be sleeping in your car or at a homeless shelter, there will come a time when you will not be, where you will have your place, where you will have more coming to you, where you will look back in time and say, that was interesting, and I left it. It is no longer a part of my life. I came through it, and I have grown. And what's really silly is this little black doggy here is standing here looking at me, cocking her head as I'm saying this. She's looking at me, yes, yes, I'm taking notes, And what else? What else? And she's looking at me like I'm speaking directly to her about what it is, because I think she's missing her parents so very, very much, her owners so very much, and they'll be back in soon. And she's looking at me again. So even this little puppy, on a higher soul level, I believe, is hearing the truth of what I'm saying, and she's reacting to it. And I think that that is a gift that I just received from this tiny little creature, this sweet little doggy, about the truth of what I am saying. I understand what you are going through, and I have a great deal of compassion. You can find the answers to what you desire within your own heart, and you can bring them forward from within. Record your dreams, please, if you can. Keep a pencil or pen and a piece of paper or a notebook by your bedside, and if you wake up in the morning, write down your dreams. They will give you a great deal of information. And you can use books like Elsa Secrest's Dreams, Your Magic Mirror, or Kevin Tedeschi's book on dreams. That's through the ARE. Both of those are through the ARE or the Heritage Store of Virginia Beach. Or I'm sure you can get them through Amazon. And the other is Mary Summerrain's 20,000 Dreams. Mary Summer Rain is her name. I love her book on dream interpretation. She's got about 20,000 words that you can use. I'm not going to count them all, but there are sure a hell of a lot of words. For almost anything that you dream about in today's world, it's very up-to-date with words and themes. And you can begin to see certain themes replaying in your life. It's going to be okay. All I can tell you is no matter how dark things may seem now in the world, it's not dark for everyone unless they choose to perceive it as dark. It's not chaotic unless you perceive it as chaotic. If you perceive it as simply energy moving around trying to find peace, balance, and harmony, it's easier to understand this, because that's what we're going through now. We are going through a period where we are letting go a great deal of negative energy and a great deal of negative power, or the illusion of power, because negative is powerful only so much as we put that into our mind and feed it with our thoughts and our passions. The same thing is this. If you are start to feeling overwhelmed by something, I don't care what it is, and you feel a cry from your heart coming out, use that cry, use that anguish, and ask the universe or God for help. Tell your higher self to lead you from this morass, this confusion, this darkness into the light. Use that passion to say, I believe in me. I believe in the goodness. I believe that God is within. And I allow that God to come forth and be the guiding light in my life. Let it be so. Or in the words of Latin, amen. These are the things that I think that you must realize most, is that the passion that you put in will bring into your life that which you desire. So even if it's the most negative one, if you simply put it out there with the passion of anguish and ask that it be brought to you as peace and joy, let the anguish of my heart bring peace and joy into my life. The universe will have to comply, because it is orderly and it must follow the laws. And peace and joy and harmony and love is the order of the universe. There is only the opposite side in order to provide contrast for what you desire. And as I said, if you can hold on to this in your darkest hours and know and trust, remember, these are the experiences that you are going through to develop the quality, the gift of trust in your life, the gift of joy in your life and hope. All of these other things are simply a side path to bring you to your greatest desires. And anything that you have to release and let go in life are illusions and delusions, bringing you to that point where you can have the greater joy. Remember the book of Job. Remember, we are on his journey as well. That's the story of every man, every woman. And how does it end? It ends with him perceiving to have lost everything. The shaman's journey, if you will, back to being in peace and harmony and prosperity. And that is what I believe everyone is going to be eventually. How short or how long the journey is depends upon our own choice of inner paths. But it is our choice. It is our free will. It is not imposed upon us, even though we think we're crazy for choosing it. It is not imposed. And I love you all very, very dearly. And I only have another minute or so. And I want to thank you all so very, very much for listening to me today. I hope that I have provided you some helpful tools and instruments of rest and relaxation, of moving ahead through these turbulent times where you can find your own inner peace and tranquility when others are losing their head. Remember, you must keep your head. It's not good for all of us to be headless chickens. Next week, I want you to know I have Atira on the show, a wonderful, wonderful channel and gifted psychic, and her spirit guide is Dom. She did have a show for a time being on BBS Radio. I also have on the 22nd Steve Rial, and on the 29th I have Marguerite Manning. I think we are going to have Steve Rial in April. I am negotiating now at a time with Frank Joseph. I'll have him on. Thank you all so very much for listening. I bless you. I will talk to you next week. God bless. Have a good evening. This is Phyllis Pricer, your hostess from BBS Radio, The Higher Dimension. Goodbye.